You're listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, March 10th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, A Grown Christian.
Thank you, fellas. Well, I'm glad Mrs. Wells is back tonight. She was sick this morning, and she's sitting in the balcony, and she doesn't want to contaminate you. But how do I look? Am I okay from up there? Okay, thank you. I asked her, I said, do me a favor. I said, you've never sat in the balcony before to see me preach, and I'm just kind of wondering how I look from way up there. And so take your Bible and go back, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And let's note this verse together. But grow, it says, in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. And I want to speak tonight on, are you a growing Christian? I'm a little bit embarrassed by the simplicity of the message. I do, however, think it's of a great necessity. So if you consider yourself a Bible scholar tonight, you're probably not going to be too impressed. But then again, I know everybody here, and so I'm not too worried about that. But I think that it would be a help to us tonight. I really do, as we talk about this tonight. If I had a second title to it tonight, I believe I would call it Signs of Christian Maturity. And may I say tonight that everybody needs to grow. New Christians need to grow. Old Christians need to grow. You might be a new Christian tonight, and others might look at you, and I know that some do, and they look and they say, well, I tell you what, they've got a long way to go. But I've got news for you, those that pass a quick judgment, God looks at you and says, wow, they've got a long way to go. No matter where you are tonight, you ought to be wanting to grow. No matter where you are, you should never stop growing. There always should be room for people to grow in the response to Christian truth that's found in the Bible. So for the new Christian tonight, you ought to be growing. To the old Christian tonight, you ought to be growing. To the person that's an intellect tonight, you ought to be growing. For the person that's not as intellect tonight, you ought to be growing. For the person that is high in their success, God has room for you to grow. For the person that has less success in life at this moment, there's room for you to grow. There's room for the child to grow tonight, the teenager to grow tonight, and for the adult to grow tonight. So I believe that this message can be a great help to us. You know, teachers, people watch you, and they watch how you grow to see if that's the way they should grow. Leaders need to grow because they have followers that need to grow. Not too many weeks ago, a lady came to me in my office and she said, she's new Christian, she's here tonight. Came to my office and she said, preacher, I want to know something. Very submissive attitude, very sweet lady. And I wouldn't embarrass her for the world. But she came to me and she said in very sweet spirit, she said, how am I doing? How am I doing? I said, what do you mean? She said, just want to know how I'm doing. She said, this Christianity thing, it's new to me. And she said, "I, how am I doing? How do I measure up?" And I said, well, I think you're measuring up pretty good. You're coming along. That's great. And she began to say, well, you know, I just want to please God in everything that I do. Everything. She said, I have a desire inside my heart just to please God. And she said, you know, with the adult discipleship and with all the programs that's helping me to grow, she said, I'm just growing by leaps and bounds. She said, but I want to make sure that I'm bounding in the right area. Now, that's the way we ought to be. Now, I say we ought to have a desire to please the Lord, to please the Word of God, and our hearts should be totally yielded to God. Now, let me give you a couple of things to think about tonight. How do you know if you're growing? If there's a measuring rod tonight to see if you're growing, what would that measuring rod be tonight? Let me give you some statements. I believe some of these are worth jotting down somewhere. Someone who's growing in the Lord does more and more because of what is right and less because they feel like it. Someone that's growing in the Lord does more and more because it's right and less because they feel like it. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 119 in verse 105, the Bible says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God says, I've given you light. Now, by the way, for the new Christian, here's what's going to happen. You get caught up. When you first get saved, you get caught up in feelings. I mean, you come to church and saints like everybody that says that they're a Christian has a halo around their head. They can do no wrong. And you get caught up in the emotions of the singing. You get caught up in the emotions of a church service that's lively and not dead. You get caught up in a church service where the music is something that speaks to your heart more than it speaks to your toe. You get caught up in things like that. But before you know it, you will lose the emotional flair. And then it comes down to a time where you have to decide you're going to do right even though you don't feel like it. What is that called? That's called Christian growth. You know, there was a little decorative plaque I saw not too long ago in somebody's office I was visiting with. It says, "Follow your heart to success." Now, may I say I disagree wholeheartedly with that plaque. You follow your heart and you'll be in tragedy. The Bible talks about how the heart has vain imaginations. The Bible talks about how the heart is deceitful. You cannot build doctrine on your emotions. Here's what the average person now, here's what they do. They go to church and so I tell you what, if I feel good in that church, I know that God wants me there. Well, I feel good in other places, it's not church. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I should be in all those places, especially when I should be in church. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we understand tonight, here's some principles. Someone is growing in the Lord when he does more and more of that which is right, even when he doesn't feel like it. You know, living the Christian life is a life of character, not always a life of pleasure. If it was a life of pleasure, then all those that gave their lives in martyrdom would be those that gave their lives in vain. Here's what we do in our Christian life. We take the Bible and we turn to it last. Last. Well, I feel like I'm going to go this way, and since I feel like it, I'm going to go do it. And then we go back to God and say, well, I wonder if that was right what I did. Why don't we do this? Why don't we go to the Bible first and then base what we do based on what the Bible says, not based on what a feeling says? How is it tonight that we know that we're growing closer to the Lord? We know we're growing closer to the Lord when we decide that we're going to do more and more on what is right and less by what we feel. Statement number one. Statement number two, we know we're growing in the Lord when we want to spend more and more time with good Christians and less time with the old crowd. Here's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The Bible says, and he that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. All right? So I know that I'm lining up with the Bible and I'm growing more and more and more. By the way, the other night I preached the last message in the conference. I cut it short. I think it's the shortest message I ever preached from this pulpit. And so I cut it short so that people could get home. And so when I got up to preach, I realized what time it was. I wanted to be honorable to you. And the sad thing is I finished and there was about 150 people that stood around for about an hour. And I thought, man, why did I should have just preached a whole hour, amen. All right, now wait a minute. You know what that is? Christians like to spend time with Christians. You enjoy being around people that have the same faith, the same definition, the same purpose, the same drive, the same intent, the same joys, the same pleasures in Jesus Christ. That is not a bad sign. That's a good sign. You know that you're growing in the Lord when you want to spend more and more of your time with good Christians and less of your time with those that are not good Christians. You know, when you hang around and you're running with a negative person, that's not lining up with Bible truth. You line up with people that are positive about the Bible. Somebody said this, that a small-minded person always talks about people. That's called gossip. A simple-minded person always talks about things. And a smart-minded person always talks about ideas, purposes, and dreams. What do you talk about? When you get around different ones, what is your main focus? Do you talk about the things that God could do? Do you talk about how God could work? Do you talk about how God could answer prayer? You know, it's one thing to hang around a person that you know is going the wrong direction. It's another thing to hang around a person that you know is going the right direction, and they just believe the simple fact that God can. I'm saying tonight, how do you know if you're a growing Christian? You know you're a growing Christian when you want to do more and more because it's right and less because of feeling. You know you're a growing Christian tonight if you decide inside of your life that you're going to spend more and more time with good Christians and less time with the old crowd. You know you're a growing Christian tonight when all of a sudden you experience more and more conflict from the devil. The more that you spend time serving God, the more conflict you're going to have with the devil. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 10, finally, brethren, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, why does God say that? Because God needs strong leaders. But the more that you do for God, the more, come on now, did you know when you first got saved and you were able to stand up and you were able to get a grip on this and a grip on this, you felt good because you were overcoming the ways of the flesh. But the more that you overcome the ways of the flesh and you submit yourself to a holy God, the more the devil wants to try and stop you. Why? Because you are bringing yourself into submissiveness of a holy God, and he does not want that. If he cannot get your soul, he wants to ruin your life. If he cannot ruin your life, he wants to ruin your wife's life. If he cannot ruin your wife's life, he wants to ruin your children's life. He is a foe, and he's alive, and he's very well today. And you have to understand that he wants to ruin you in everything that you're trying to do. So understand tonight that an evidence of a growing Christian is you're going to experience some conflict. And by the way, he would much more like to knock a Sunday school teacher out of the class than he would somebody that's just an average attender. He wouldn't like to knock a bus captain off the bus route than he would just a bus rider off the bus route. He liked to knock somebody out of the choir. And why? Because if he can knock a leader out, then what takes place? Those that are following become discouraged. Those that are following get down. Those that are following now all of a sudden become dismayed. Why? Simply because that which is the devil is the one that's in a conflict with you. I've seen more and more people have marriage problems and children problems and financial problems and emotional problems than I've ever seen in my life. Now, may I say that there is a real devil tonight, and you better realize that. We're not here playing church tonight. There is a real Satan tonight. And he wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy your life, and he wants to destroy your family and your kids. He wants to destroy all of that. But how do you know if you're growing in grace? You know that you're growing in grace and growing in the Lord if you have a desire to do more and more of that which is right, regardless of how you feel about it. You know you're growing in the Lord if you have a desire and an intent to be able to go forward and spend more time with Christians that are good Christians and less time with the old crowd. You know that you're growing in grace tonight if you're spending more time being attacked by that which is the devil that wants to destroy you. First, he'll try to discourage you from cleaning up your life once you get saved. But after you get your life cleaned up and now you're in ministry, he'll try to attack you to knock you out of your ministry. He'll try and get you to stop. Why? Because you're making yardage. You're doing that which God himself sent his son to do. And if he can discourage you from ministry and get you out of ministry, then that many more people is not going to be saved. And that many more people is not going to be helped. And that gospel is not going to be given out just because you got discouraged. May I say tonight that someone is growing when they decide they're going to do more and more because it's right, and less because they feel like it. We know somebody's growing tonight when that person decides that they're going to spend more and more time with good Christians and less time with the old crowd. We know that people are growing tonight when they experience the conflict of Satan. We know that people are growing tonight in the Lord. Listen to me now. We know that people are growing in the Lord tonight when panics caused by life's crushing manners are easier to overcome. You're going to have some crushing things in your life. Everybody will. But you know that you're growing in the Lord tonight when it takes less time to recover than what it did a year ago. Less time to recover than what it did 2 years ago. You're growing in the Lord tonight when all of a sudden something hits you and that panic now takes a little bit less time. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, and he is our peace, who have made, it says, both one. It says, and hath broken down the middle wall, a partition between us. He said, I'm your peace. I'm your peace. You can't find peace in an individual, but you can find peace in God. Now, wait a minute. So the more time I spend with him, the more I'm growing close to him, then the more peace I have when something that would cause me to panic. Okay, let me show you how you know if you're a growing Christian. When all of a sudden you go through an onslaught of the devil, when all of a sudden now you have a panic type of thing that comes in your life, and you know that last year it would have took you 7 days to get over it, but this year it only took you five. That's growth. Had a young man walk in my office not too long ago, and he's down on himself, and he said, "Preacher, you don't understand." He said, I think he said something like 53 chapters in the Bible or so this past year. He's kicking himself. I said, "Son, this next year read 54. You realize that 54 is growth compared to 52? See, we have this attitude in fundamentalism, and we have this attitude sometimes, I think, in Western civilization, is it's all or nothing. I've got to be all or nothing. The problem is when you give you all, your all, you have nothing else to give. And if your all is not, comparatively speaking, as good as somebody else's all, you get discouraged because you compare yourself to somebody else. And before you know it, you're not able to give your all even more because there's no more left of you to give. Why don't we just decide that we're going to grow in grace? Why don't we just decide that we're going to give it our best? It would be better to take a step than no step at all. Now, I realize we got big day coming up. I realize that. And there's 2 days a year when we go out on a Saturday and we give it everything we've got. I realize that. And I realize there's certain times you have birthdays in your life. And people that's involved in your birthday celebration, they give it all that they've got that one time a year. I realize that you have anniversaries that's in your life. But those things are things that are not the normal giving it all every single day. Sometimes you see here that a person will grow, and an evidence of growth is when a crushing matter comes upon you, it takes you less time to be able to recoup. It takes you less time to be able to bounce back. That's called growth. Boy, if something knocked you out of the saddle and it took you a whole year to be able to get back in the saddle at one time in your life, and this time you get knocked out of the saddle and it only takes you 6 months to get back to where you should be, that's growth. If it took you 6 months a year ago to get back to where you were supposed to be when you got knocked down, but it only took you 3 months to get back, hey, that's growth. If a year ago it took you 3 months to get back, but now it's only taking you a month and a half to get back, that's growth. If a year ago it took you a month and a half to get back, but now it only takes you a week to get back. Hey, the closer that we get to God, the easier it ought to be to rebound. Why? Because we don't hold grudges. We don't get mad at each other. We don't try and get vengeance with each other. We forgive each other. We love each other. That's called growth. I'm saying tonight, how is it that you know that you're growing in the Lord? You know you're growing in the Lord because you want to do more and more that which is right and less because you feel like it. How do you know you're growing in the Lord? You know it because you want to spend more and more time with good Christians and less time with the old crowd. How do you know you're growing in the Lord? You know you're growing in the Lord because you will experience that which is conflict with Satan himself. You know you're growing in the Lord because it takes you less time to be able to recuperate from that which is a panic or from that which is a crushing matter in your life simply because you decided that you were going to be closer to the Lord. And by the way, that is called maturity. I wonder if we'll ever get to the point and to the place where we embrace that one verse altogether that's ours. Where it says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, it may take a while to get there. And by the way, everybody gets there at different times in their life. Everybody does. But if you're spending more time being able to bounce back at a quicker rate, then you're growing. Well, I remember when so-and-so said something to me years ago, and I bit their head off. Oh, okay, somebody said this the other day. I don't know who it was. I was in a house somewhere, and they said this. They said, well, I tell you what, last year, he got me so mad, I bit his head off 5 times. Well, I said, if you only bite it off 2 times this year, that's growth. Still painful, but it's growth. All right? Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying you understand what the Bible says here, that when a person is growing in the Lord, that's going to be healthy for them. Statement number five, you know you're growing in the Lord when you grow in love for him and others and right things. When you grow in love with him and others and right things, you know you're growing in the Lord. Oh, come on. Here's what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So when you fall in love with him, you know that you're growing in the Lord. We don't come to church because we have to. We come to church because we want to. It's not I have to go to church. It's I get to go to church. It's not, well, I tell you what, it's time to go to church again. I just have to go because, I mean, after all, that's what Christians do. No, not all. So it's not a matter of I've got to go to church. It's I get the privilege to go to church. It's exciting to be in the house of God. Boy, it's exciting to hear the singing. And by the way, listen, nothing will minister to your heart and build up your faith like that which is the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And you couple that together with good, godly, exhortational type of music. And that is a no-lose type of thing. Here's what we understand tonight. We understand this. We understand somebody's growing in the Lord when they decide to do right regardless of how they feel. We understand tonight when we're growing in the Lord, when we decide to spend more and more time with good Christians and less time with the old crowd. We understand tonight we're growing in the Lord when we experience a conflict with Satan. We understand tonight we're growing in the Lord when it takes us less time to recover from panic, life-crushing matters in our life. We understand we're growing in the Lord when we develop a love for him and a love for others and a love for right things. I mean, church is a good thing and giving is a good thing and being involved, that's a good thing. And we're getting more and more of those things, not less and less. All right, wait a minute. We understand we're growing in the Lord and we have confidence that God knows best no matter what the outcome. That's called growing in the Lord. That God knows best no matter what the outcome. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I know I'm growing in the Lord when I put my life in his purpose, and it doesn't matter what the outcome is because I'm just a servant of the Lord. I'm just, if you would please, the plowman behind that old plow. I'm just the water boy that goes down and brings it from that which is the shed into the family to take care of them. That's all we are. Now, I understand tonight that there is significance in all that I just said right there, but happy is the Christian that walks in God's protection and says, I tell you what, I'm putting my life in your hands, and I know that you can take better care of me than I can take better care of me. I know that if I put myself in your hands, that you can take care of it. How do I know if I'm growing in the Lord? I know I'm growing in the Lord because I decide I want to do right no matter how I personally feel about it. I decide I'm growing in the Lord if I look and see that I want to be around good Christians more and more and around the old crowd less and less. I know I'm growing in the Lord when I experience the conflict of Satan. I know I'm growing in the Lord when I'm able to get over the panic attacks and the life-crushing matters in a more quickly fashion. I know I'm growing in the Lord when I develop a love for him and a love for others and a love for things. I know I'm growing in the Lord when I'm building my confidence towards him, knowing that he knows best for me. Statement number seven, I'm almost done. I know I'm growing in the Lord when I see sin as sin and confess it. When I see sin as sin and confess it. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word if, a conditional clause there, that means it's up to each and every single individual. It's up to me whether I confess my sin. But God says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful, he is just, he will forgive those sins. He says, I promise that I will do that. So how do I know when I'm growing in the Lord? I know because I recognize sin is sin. When I recognize sin is sin, I take care of it in short order. I don't put it on the back burner. I decide that, boy, I'm going to take care of it because it's affecting my relationship, not my sonship, but my relationship with God the Father. And so I've got to keep my sins in short order. I don't just passively just, I was down and I was talking with a young couple last night in downtown Dallas, and we went to a very nice cafe on, and we were sitting on the outside, and I was doing some marriage counseling last night, and I watched people as they were walking down the street. Here's what they're doing. They're just casually just walking down the street. Didn't have a care in the world. Just casually walking down the street, looking at the lights. By the way, the birds were just kind of flying over, just hovering over, just casually flying. No emergency. No emergency. Now, may I say, in the Christian's life, we have to understand that we don't need to let our sin build up, so we treat it just casually taking care of it. Because when you start doing that, and you're not somebody that confesses and forsakes your sin immediately, what happens is that's called casual Christianity, and you are bound to become a casualty. When a person just decides, well, you know, sin is not all that bad. I mean, you know, I mean, everybody does it. No, not everybody. But preacher, you don't understand. I mean, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. Because you forfeit getting your prayers answered. You forfeit the power of God. You forfeit being in that close, nestled relationship with Christ. You forfeit all those things. You forfeit all the wisdom that God would have for you when we just passively look at sin. How do we know if we're growing in the Lord? We know we're growing in the Lord if we decide that we're going to obey Him because it's right, whether we feel like it or not. We know that we're growing in the Lord when we decide we're going to spend more and more time with good Christians and less time with the old crowd. We know that we're growing in the Lord when we decide in our personal lives that we understand that there's an onslaught of the devil against us because he wants to stop us, and we realize that. We know we're growing in the Lord when it takes us less time to recover from panics, life-crushing type of events. We know we're growing in the Lord when we have a love for Him and for others and right things more and more. We know we're growing in the Lord when our confidence is being built more and more to be able to accomplish life's purposes and goals. We know we're growing in the Lord when we treat sin as sin and we confess it. May I say this? We know we're growing in the Lord when we take care of our faults one to another. Our faults one to another. You know, man is a man of pride. Did you know that? Well, you know, I just don't agree with, and you know, I tell you, and you know, we spend so much time elevating ourselves that there is no room for God. James chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. Doesn't say your sins. That's between you and God. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now he said, look, you're not going to have an effectual fervent prayer. You're not going to get the wisdom that you need unless you spend time confessing your faults one to another. Statement number 9, I'm almost done. Here's how we know if we're growing in the Lord. You hate evil as well as sin. You hate evil as well as sin. Sin is when you hurt. When you hurt. Evil is when you cause others to hurt. Sin is when you think the bad thought about someone. Evil is when you help others to think the bad thought about someone. See, sin is when it's just about you. But it becomes evil. Okay, sin is when you drink. It becomes evil when you give your neighbor drink. Sin is when you smoke. It becomes evil when you get your neighbor to smoke. All right? And so we understand tonight that we ought to hate evil as well as the sin. May I say this tonight and I'm done. Live for heaven, not for earthly affections. Live for heaven. Here's what it says, two verses. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. The Bible says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You know, the Apostle Paul said this. He said to mortify the flesh. It means put it to death. He said this, I die daily. Isn't it neat that one place is saying, I die daily, and the other place we're being taught to ask, give us this day our daily bread. But if a person is not dying daily over here, they don't see any need of daily bread over here. Do we understand tonight that we're supposed to take those affections that are those affections of lust and those affections of the flesh, we're supposed to put them to death, crucify them as Christ said. Here's this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. What is an affection? An affection is what affects you. Are you affected by the thing? There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. The Bible talks about there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Angels don't rejoice. Not over a sinner getting saved. They have no idea. There's no concept. But in the presence of those angels, there's rejoicing over what? One sinner that repenteth. So when a person gets saved, when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, those that are in the presence of those angels, what are they doing? They are rejoicing. Now, by the way, I set my affections on things above. Brother Bontegal we went soul winning Saturday. And he said, preacher, he said, I want to take you out to eat. He said, man, I don't want no hamburger stuff. He said, let's go for steak. And so we went over and we each got a 16-ounce steak, and we sat there right after we got done eating it, and I looked at him, and my eyes are poking out, my cheeks are pudging, and I said, boy, it's time to go back soul winning, isn't it? All right, yeah, now you got five people who want to go soul winning with you, Brother Bontegal, this week. But set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, because the things of the earth will affect you. The things in heaven will affect you. We're out soul winning together, and I stopped and started talking to some people, and he went over. I didn't realize he spoke Spanish. I had no idea. And so he goes over to these ladies, and boy, he's just speaking Spanish just as quick and just as good as they are. And he leads them to Christ just like that. And boy, they were so glad they got saved. Now, wait a minute. What was he doing? He was setting his affection on things above. There are things that will affect you that will make you heavenly minded. Somebody said years ago, we're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. I think we ought to be so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. But I think that it ought to be important that we put our affections on things above, not on the things of the earth, not on those things that would capsize us and to take us under. I'm saying this tonight. You know you're growing. You know you're growing. That dear lady came by the office and she said, preacher, how do I measure up? Tell me, how am I growing? I'll tell you how you know you're growing. When you want to spend more and more time doing right, regardless of how you personally feel about it. How do you know that you're growing tonight? You know you're growing tonight when you want to spend more and more time with those that are good Christians and less time with that old crowd that you came out of. You know you're growing tonight when you're an individual that is experiencing that which is the devil trying to stop you to obey God. You know you're growing tonight when it takes you less time to get over your panics and your life-crushing matters in your life, when you can bounce back more quickly. You know you're growing tonight when your love for God and your love for others and things is automatically growing with Him. You know you're growing tonight when you have confidence that God knows best at what God's doing in your life. You know you're growing tonight when sin looks as bad as sin is and you confess it. When faults look as bad as faults are and you take care of it. When you hate evil just as well as you hate sin. And when you live for heavenly things and you set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, you know you're growing. You know what is really neat, and I'm done. What is really neat is when you look around and you see people that are growing. When you look around and you see people, and by the way, they don't all grow at the same rate. Did you notice that? You know, some people come and boy, they just get a hold of it and they say, boy, that's it. And they dive in and they never leave. They're here every service. They're excited. Their kids are some of those that are passing out tracts, and their whole family unit is just tied right in. Then there's some, it grows just a little bit slower than that. Then there's some that just, they don't grow quite that much. But you can tell if you're growing because of the desire that's there. It's not the desire because of a music program, and it's not the desire because you have a preacher that might say a funny from time to time, and it's not a desire because all of a sudden somebody gets up and they give you a tear-jerking illustration that ties you to your emotional fling. But it ties you because of that which is the Word of God. And the Word of God begins to work in your heart. And now you're around Christians. And boy, those Christians are excited about the things of God. And boy, you get around somebody else. And boy, they're talking about the very same thing. And before you know it, you're growing more and more and more and more. But you have to give yourself to growth. Every man in here that has given yourself to growth physically, you know the end result. Every person in here that gives themselves to grow intellectually knows the end result. Every person in here that decides to give themselves and to grow socially or financially or emotionally, you know the end result of that. Wouldn't it be good if we just decide that we're going to give ourselves to the cause of Christ so that Christ can help us to grow to be what we ought to be?
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.